Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power.
Good evening out there in podcast radio. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Okay, yeah, good evening out there in podcast radio. It is Hodge to Hodge Podcast with the co-producer Ken Hodge and the other producer, Brother Messenger Hodge, on the other line. This is our hour of power. In fact, it's going to be so powerful that you're going to be convinced that it was only 30 minutes. But again, I just want to warm the mic up and introduce to some and present to others none other than our own very 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 important person, Brother Messenger Rondaya.
Amen. I thank you, my brother. We are blessed today to have Nurse Carmen with us as well, and I believe we got Miss Jane in the background, but we're just going to go a little further here today, just discussing the goodness of God. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is will. We always like to say, let God will be done. And I come to say to those that are listening that God's will, that your will is God's will. Now, that's not the same thing as saying God's will is your will. If you did God's will all the time, there would be nothing more for you to do to achieve enlightenment. The process would be over. You would be already there. One day of doing nothing but God's will would bring you enlightenment. If you had been doing God's will all these years you've been alive, you'd hardly need to be involved in this podcast. So it is clear we have not been doing God's will. In fact, most of the time, we don't even know God's will. So you might say, then why don't God tell us what it is? And he does. We just don't listen. And when we do listen, we don't really hear. And when you do hear, you don't believe what you're hearing. And when you do believe what you're hearing, you don't follow instructions anyway. So to say that God's will is your will is demonstrably inaccurate. On the other hand, your will is God's will. First, because God knows it. Second, because God accepts it. And third, because he prays it. Fourth, because he loves it. Fifth, because he owns it and calls it his own. This means you have free will to do as you wish, and God makes you his. God makes your will his through unconditional love. Now, for God's will to be ours, we would have to do the same. First, we would have to know it. Second, we would have to accept it. Third, you would have to praise it. Fourth, you would have to love it. And finally, you would have to call it your own. In the whole history of our race, only a few have ever done this consistently. A handful of others have done it nearly always. Many have done it a great deal. A whole slew of people have done it from time to time, and virtually everyone has done it on rare occasions, although some have never done it at all. And you might ask why. Because we have far too much growing to do before we can claim. I tell you this. You can claim that. You have moved to godhood the instant if you choose to. Your growth need not take so much time. And we ask, well, why does it take so much time? It's we don't know what it is that's holding us back. And what it is just the fact that, as I stated earlier, that we go through these different phases that we hear it, but we don't believe it, then we believe it, then we don't do it, and then we believe it, and then we don't do it the way it should be done. But it's important for us to know that our will is God's will. And it's important that we understand that, because we're so busy thinking that everything we do is displeasing to God. But when you have unconditional love, it becomes your will. And this is what God is trying to let us know, that the things that we do is not disturbing to God, because if we did anything that was disturbing to him, he could stop it with just the thought. She could stop it with just the thought. And so we have to come to better understand this God that we serve. And we can't understand him. We can't even get to know him as long as we continue to go by this religious doctrine. It is a spiritual thing. It even says so. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. And truth is very, very, very important, because you can't lie. When you're trying to reach that realm of godliness, lying is just not a part of God. Lying is not a part of God, and if we're trying to connect, that's one of the things in which we have to stop doing. We have to speak our truth, not our lie, but speak our truth. And if someone can't accept our truth, then that's not on us, because it's our truth. We must examine ourselves, but it's our truth. And what we have to learn to do is start living each day for us. Oneself, because you cannot be a help to another if you're not even a help to yourself. So I just wanted to share that with us for a few minutes, just so that we can better understand the fact that our will is God's will, but don't get it confused with God's will. I hope I'm making myself clear. God has a will for a will in a way. And we will eventually, if not now, later, but we will fall in line with his will. But because of the love that he has for us, our will becomes his will.
Brother Messenger, how does one just differentiate between what we want to do and God's will?
Well, what we want to do, we have to better understand what it is that we want to do. And when I say what we want to do, because sometimes we do a lot of things we don't want to do. The soul is telling us what to do. Now, when we listen to the soul and we do as the soul, and if you remember some of our other podcasts, we spoke about the soul just wants us to be the highest, the best self that we can be. And the soul is always going to lead you in that direction to be the best that you can be. And so when you are being the best that you can be, that is God's will.
God's will, amen.
That is God's will. It's just that simple. All of this other stuff that they're trying to put out there, that's not God. That's what they're telling you God's will is. But God's will, and this is why we're here, is for us to be creators so that we can create and be able to express the best me that I can be. And if I'm being the best me that I can be, then I am doing God's will.
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
So it's important for us to understand the importance that we have here that is on our shoulders, not on any religion or anything. It's about you. And when you get in touch with you and get in touch with God, then everything, there's a scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom. Now, the kingdom is a parable per se, but it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added to you. So when you get in tune with God, all the help, all the good, all the things that you want to achieve, they will come to you. But it's important that we first seek ye first the kingdom.
And when you say seek ye first the kingdom, are we saying seek ye first your inner self? Would that describe the kingdom?
That is the kingdom, my brother. And I'm glad you said that, because just like in the days when Jesus was here, and as Jesus spoke, the people around him, they were expecting Jesus to set up a kingdom here on earth. And Jesus told them then that my kingdom is not of this earth. But they couldn't comprehend that. And so it's very good that you said that, so that nobody's going around looking for this kingdom, because the kingdom is inside you. Jesus told you that. Heaven and hell is here, is here on earth, because it is a state of mind. You can do something one day and feel like you're in heaven, and the next day mess up and feel like you're in hell. And that's all heaven and hell is. But because of our unwillingness to hear what God is saying to us, we honestly think that heaven is a place up in the sky, or hell is a place down below in the ground. We honestly believe that it is an actual place, realizing that the body is going to go to the ground, and that's it. Then it's when the soul becomes free. It's when the soul becomes as one with the Creator. So this is another reason why when we look at death, we should not look at death with any kind of sorrow. We can have a little sorrow for the fact that we're missing that person, but that person has gone to a place that we will all get to, and truth of the matter, that's the place that we're all not trying to die to get to. Because the body is holding the soul back from being just who it is that it wants to be. Not that it wants to be, that it is. Because the soul knows. It's just that the brain and the body won't align with the soul. But when the brain and the body aligns with the soul, that's when things just seem like it's just clicking on all cylinders for us. And when there's not clicking on all cylinders, 9 times out of 10, we're not paying attention to the soul.
So I guess that's what we mean by most of the times at a funeral, the minister or the person eulogizing that person tells you ashes to ashes. Again, we go back to from which we were created, but that part of us that was created, that's what goes back into the ground. The part
right.
of you that is you, that the Creator
right.
put in you, that's the part that once we tear off the shell of the body, it allows our soul, again, to be free and to
right.
be exactly what the Creator intended our souls to be.
Well, not what it intended. It's what it is, because our soul is the spirit, which is a part of God. And this is the part that we it's hard for us to accept, because then they think you think you're some Superman when you say that I am a part of God. So when the scriptures say you will never die, you cannot die. for you to die means God dies. And it just isn't so. And that's the part that we wrestle with, because no matter what, even though it says throughout the scriptures that God is a spirit and God resides in us, we still see us as this fleshly thing. And we can't imagine us being anything else but this. We can't imagine us being without our long hair, without our bald head, without our big stump. We can't imagine anything but this. We think that this is us. When this is just a, it says so, we are just, this is just a temple. This is just a temple for the housing of the Spirit, which is God. And when that Spirit leaves out of this house is now condemned. But we can't accept that. We think that there's so much more to this body than what it really is. Now, don't get me wrong. This body is one hell of a creation. You can't find anything else created in the likeness of this body. And this is a work of God. The finest automobile cannot compare to this body. The finest houses cannot compare to this body. Anything that man, any of the seven wonders that man has tried to create cannot compare to the body. Just think about it. It has the ability to heal itself. You can cut yourself and 2 days later it's healed.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how bad you cut yourself, but it heals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've done so much damage to this body, but it still just keeps on turning.
Ticking, that's right.
Amen, brother. Amen.
So it's just important for us to, and I keep saying it, and I'll continue to say it, because as the brother reminded me, it took us a while to come to the realization. And I know it will take other people, but I've got to keep saying it over and over again,
yeah,
so that you can,
yeah,
hear it and so that you can try it. Because the same way you heard this nonsense all of your life and you believe it and you don't want to let go, you've got to let go. Because even as one of the things we don't understand, because we look at it like, well, this religion that I've been in, it's gotten me this far. And what we don't understand is the religion, mm-hmm, per se didn't get you anywhere.
That's right.
It's that God in you that has gotten,
amen,
you to certain places.
Amen.
I got a question for you, Brother Messenger, that we could talk about for a second.
Sure.
For those folks or in the Christianity religion or Christianity sect or whatever they want to refer to it as, when you hear that I've been saved, you hear that phrase a lot. My question, brother, would be, as per what folks are so inclined to believe, once I'm saved, can I ever be lost again?
Well, if you listen to them, but once again, the most important thing is there is nothing to be saved from.
Amen, bro.
There is nothing to be saved from. And now explain this to me. If Jesus died for our sins, how can we turn around and die for him?
Right,
if Jesus,
right,
died for him, and they like to say he took all the sins to the cross with him. But now what happens is now they want to put stipulations on it. Yeah, he took them to the cross, but we take them back off the cross. That's just not so. Once again, what we do is we discredit Jesus as well as God. If you're going to believe that Jesus took your sins to the cross, which is not true, but if you want to go with that, I'm not going to knock it. Okay, but if he took them to the cross, then they are not sins anymore. They never,
yeah,
were sins. But
so,
we can't...
The story would have you to believe that Jesus died for our sins, but we still have our sins, so Jesus died for nothing? I mean, don't get me wrong. as we talk about.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, so again, you know, but that's what we believe. Jesus died for our sins, but every day I still have to repent. If I'm Catholic, I still got to do penance and acts of contrition. But wait a minute. You just told me that God turned into man and walked the earth because he wasn't satisfied with his original creation. So he said, let me put my big boy pants on. Well, excuse me. Let me put my little boy pants on and go down here and show these jokers what I'm talking about. Because he couldn't do it from where he is. He was probably just exhausted from creating everything. So he said, let me take the body of man and lessen myself tremendously. Just
preach,
so they can understand what it is that I come to do.
Preach, bro.
But again, when you hear that, because you were trained to hear that, it sounds comforting. But when you stop and try to put any analytical process to that, I just keep coming back to the point of, if Jesus died for our sins, then why do we still have sins?
Right. Thank you.
And I put that out there again for think about what I'm saying, folks, because if you can think about what I'm saying, maybe it'll open your heart to hear a little different message, especially when the message is only getting you closer to the Creator himself.
And part of what the problem is with the disbelief of what it is that we're saying is, for some reason, people have a problem believing that God is so awesome and so merciful and so loving and so kind. They have a problem believing that. Even though if you give them 2 seconds, they'll turn around and say the exact same thing to you, but they have a problem believing it. They have a problem believing that God is not mad at you. They say unconditional love. If you've got unconditional love for somebody, there is nothing that they can do that is going to piss you off. Nothing. Nothing. Unconditional love. He didn't say unconditional love for 3 weeks. He said forever. I am with you always. Because he can't be anywhere else but with you, because he is you.
That's right.
Amen.
I'll tell you this. Here's what we need to see. They want to call it the lustful love, but you know how it is when you first meet that boy or girl, and the two of you are madly in love with each other. Technically, ain't nothing that either one can do to the other to piss somebody off. If you think about it, you so much in love that if mama and daddy say the wrong thing, you'll slap them.
Amen.
We call it unconditional. We call that lustful love, but that's unconditional love. The only problem with us with that love is we've got a time frame on it. But God has no time frame. We talked about time already, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Right. So God has no time frame. And that love that we share for that man or woman, that woman or woman, whatever it is, that love that we share, that's the love that God has for us forever and ever. And he has no choice, because how can he not love you? How can he not love you? For him to not love you is for him to not love himself, and that is impossible.
Right.
But we find it impossible to think that such a magnificent God, who in one breath we can say he's loving, he's kind, he's forgiving, and then we'll turn around and say, but he got a point. That where he gonna get to, and then ain't no coming back from. You know what I mean?
That point might be, I freed you. Again, here's another version of the story. I freed you. I've taken you out of captivity in Egypt, but then you got unruly. So halfway through your trip out of captivity, I got to stop and give you these commandments. Now, again, as the brother Messenger said on many times, if it's commanded, I mean, if you believe God to be the power entity that we believe the gods have been. If I command you to do, if I command you to stand on your head until your feet turn blue, you can't do anything but stand on your head.
Right.
But yet we've got commandments coming directly from the Creator.
Uh-huh.
That nobody's, well, I will say nobody, that most people cannot adhere to every moment of their life. And I say most people, I'm talking about the ministers. I'm talking about those high-profile individuals who draw thousands three or four days a week to tell them a story that has been told over and over again. It's never a bad story because it can be comforting, but that's not the story that's going to get you closer to the Creator. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's a story that's going to get you deeper into your pockets. That's what that's a story of.
That's what the story is designed to do.
That's correct. And that's why they're sticking with it. Even though if you listen to their message, if you listen to their message periodically throughout their messages, they slip up and say the same thing that I'm saying. But then, once again, what they do is they turn around, because part of theologian teaching is you got to always bring it back to the cross. So no matter what you say, you got to bring it back to the cross.
And
that
I'm
he
saying,
died and he shed his blood. Now, for God to enter one of his commandments to be thou should not kill, why are we worshiping blood or honoring blood? Throughout the ages, isn't that one of the sacrifices that they made? They killed one of his creations, right? They killed for the blood. And tell me this: being God, okay, you know that there is no other God, because you're God. So if you know this.
I didn't create any other gods, but go ahead.
So if you know this, I'll break it down to something that I know you'll love to hear, okay? King James, right? The basketball player. Do he worry about other basketball players?
Not at all.
Why? Because he know he the king.
Right.
But now God, he mad because I'm stuck and stupid, and I wanted to create me out a piece of cardboard and make me a god. Now my God is jealous. My God
Again,
is jealous though.
It don't pass a whole lot of the common sense aspect of reasonable thinking. But again, his ways are not our ways, so they like to tell you. But I like to say, his ways are our ways. His thoughts are our thoughts. So we need to stop making that division and make the connection, and then we can grow powerfully. Hey,
That's
listen,
correct,
my brother. Yeah, we've got a minute, 21 seconds left. Again, to the audience, I'd like to say we did a 30-minute podcast tonight, again, just to constantly remind you of the goodness of God. And I'm always blessed and honored to have my big brother, Messenger Ron Dyer, on the microphone and spreading that word, because I tell you, it is a word that we need to hear, that we need to take heed and hold on to. And if you hold on to it, all you have to do is just be you. You don't have to get up 4 days a week.
No magic involved, right?
Nothing at all. And this is what the ministers really mean when they tell you it is so simple that a fool couldn't mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
you just preached the word, my brother. You just preached the word.
And people don't understand. This almost didn't happen tonight, but it's a belief that we must continue to put this word out.
Right.
And so we did this tonight.
Amen. And I really enjoyed it too, my brother. Thank you so much, Sister Carmen, for pressing your way out. I know you're
you.
A little tired, but I thank you for pressing your way out. And to those, mm-hmm. we will be back on Thursday. And don't forget to catch The Attic on Wednesday, 11 o'clock.
Wednesday.
And remember, yeah. if Kay Hodge isn't on your radio,
your radio just ain't on.
All right, then.
Hey. And I want y'all to know, for all my listeners out of New York City, yes, I borrowed that from the late, great Frankie Crocker. Everybody,
Amen.
Let's have a nice evening, and we'll do this again real soon. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, my love. Good night.
Yeah.